Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. It is already the 14th of March. Astros win. Tiger Woods hangs in there, hanging tight at the Masters. A lot going on today. Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Austin, good to have you back in here, bud.
What's going on, man? Nothing much, man. The wind was howling this morning. It was going crazy.
Lord.
The sky was lit up by my house.
Yeah, had a half moon shining bright, and man, what way was your sky lit up by your house? It wasn't with lightning, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you see lightning this morning?
I'm guessing it was coming from Sealy. I live in Katy, so it wasn't too far for me.
Yeah.
And it was jumping, man. It was
going
crazy.
Man, I didn't even think to look at radar. I figured that was over with
yesterday. I did, too.
Quite a surprise.
It was, and that wind was pushing.
Yeah, it's definitely west. Yeah, I'm not seeing much on radar now. Everything's kind of gone north and east of us.
Passing through.
Yeah. That's why they're playing threesomes at the Masters today.
I know. How about
on
Tiger?
On Sunday. He's doing good.
Oh, yeah.
That weather's moving over their way, and they want to get the round started early today and playing in threesomes instead of twosomes. And so that ought to be interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
It may change somebody's rhythm a little bit.
Yeah.
Getting that third player in there. Hope it doesn't change anything for Tiger. He played quite good yesterday. He started off with that bogey on five, but he went six birdies after that and all rest pars. And the Astros, can't say enough about them. Shut down those hot, hot Seattle Mariners, huh?
Man, how about Altuve? That man is on a tear right
now. What is that, five or six games in a row now? He's busted one?
Yeah, it's five games in a row, and I think he's got seven home runs in a row or something like that.
And, yeah.
Man, he's on a tear.
Yeah, but Bregman's the face of the Astros, is what I've heard a few sports people say. I'll take Altuve. And I'll take Bregman. I mean,
I like
the guy, but I've just always been an Altuve guy.
I like Altuve.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that.
And dynamite comes in small packages.
Exactly.
Baby.
Man, that's crazy to think he's shorter than me. I'm pretty short. And that man is just hitting bombers.
You know what I like about baseball? Size really doesn't matter.
It truly does not.
Hand-eye coordination, bat speed, it's the way you work out. I mean, everything. Speed on the bases. And he's fast. That knee job, he's looking like he used to. You know, last year, he was playing on leg, really. He played hurt for a long time.
It was a tough season for him.
Tough little booger, I'll tell you that.
Heck yeah.
All right, man. Well, cool. Welcome to Open Line Sunday, folks. Our sponsors today, Castaway Rods, the Bauman Marine Service, Boyd's One Stop, the Belleville Meat Market, Mainstream Marketing, Texan Roofing, Skeeter's Auto Service, and the CCA Star Tournament. They have their early bird signups going on right now. If you sign up before April 26th, is it? Yeah, April 26th, you'll automatically be put into a drawing to win a nice Dargle Scout boat, a 21-footer with a Evinrude Motor and McLean trailer. It's pretty good. I mean, you're going to sign up anyway. You might as well sign up early, get a chance to win that boat, huh? Without a doubt. Houston, Texas right now. It's 48 degrees here. How about that? 48 in H-Town, and gusts are about 22 to 27 miles per hour out of the west. Kind of west-northwest, mostly west in it. But it's quite brisk out there this morning. It's a pretty good temperature drop after being used to this warm weather the last few days. Old man winter won't give up, will he? But today we're looking at partly cloudy, a high 74, winds will be northwest at 10 to 20. It'll be a little more on the coast, 25, maybe 30 at times. And then tonight, clear, a low of 54, winds will be light and variable. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 82, winds will already be south-southeast 10 to 15. That's a quick turnaround from a northwest like we're having today to go to a south-southeast tomorrow. But that That's the way it works. And looking at tides, if I can find my tide sheet, I'll go ahead and give you current conditions while I've got them here on a Sunday. I'm not very prepared today, which I never am on Sundays. But current conditions, I know the buoy offshore, I guess it blew away during the night sometime because I'm getting no report at all out there whatsoever. No temperatures, no nothing. Well, here it is. It's back up. West-northwest, 25 to 31. Barometric pressure is 29.86 inches and rising. Wave heights are 4.5 feet with a period of 5 seconds. Water temp at the buoy, 69 degrees. Air temperature, 55. Then at Eagle Point, it's 49 degrees with 70-degree water. West-northwest winds at 18 gusting to 26, and then at Morgan's Point, west-northwest at 18 gusting to 29. There is some gust. If you go across your fish weather map, there's some gust out in the Gulf to about 37 or so. So this thing's quite a blow. It really is quite a blow. Let's see if I can find this tide sheet. Here we go. Sunday, today, Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a low at 6:18 a.m. It's an 0.1, then a high at 2:37 p.m., a 1.5, then a low at 8:28 p.m., a 1.2, and then a high at 11:56 p.m., a 1.3. We went back on that four tide schedule, and your morning tide is going to pretty much stay the same. It's going to be good and strong, but your afternoon and evening tides are real weak. 6:54 a.m. sunrise, 7:45 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase, 61%. You can see that bright half moon out there this morning. No cloud cover. All right, let's go to Rockport and talk to our good friend, Captain Tony Gonzalez, shall we? Hey, Tony, what's up, bud?
Not much, Captain Ricky. Good morning.
How you been, man? You still beating on them fish down there?
Yeah, that wind beat on me yesterday, though.
How about that? I saw that photo you popped up. And that was in St. Charles Bay, and it looked rough, man.
Well, it was just a fun trip yesterday. A friend of ours, he's a wildlife biologist here at the Aransas Refuge.
Yeah.
And he's from Wisconsin. He had beat out like 600 kids to get that job.
Dang.
And he's real good at waterfowl, but he's learning all the saltwater fishing stuff. So he wanted to fish with me and see how I try to catch trout. So we just focused yesterday on drop-offs. So I was just showing him my GPS and showing him that 4-foot drop-off and
explaining,
like in the late 70s, early 80s, those guys used to say that if you weren't drifting these crab traps, you weren't catching fish.
Mm-hmm.
So we started our first drift, and I mean, his first cast, he stuck one. Looked at me and shook his head. I can't believe this. I was like, can you see everybody way over on that shoreline? We're out here by ourselves. He's like, yeah. So that's what we did yesterday. And we only ended up with 5 keepers, a bunch of little dinks, and one nice red as we got up on that shoreline. And so I was just teaching him, you know, just you can start your drift sometimes against that shoreline. Your first couple of casts will be a redfish. As you get off to that drop-off, you catch those trout. Start over, you know, trying to dissect it, you know. Don't drift your same line unless it's a good drift. I was like, well, just kind of cut it up and you'll figure it out. It's just fishing, you know.
When you said he was from Wisconsin, the first thing I thought of was duck. And you said he was like a duck biologist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that game warden joke about checking a guy out and said, you got a Wisconsin duck stamp. We all know that joke. That was a pretty good one, man. But
no, it's picking up. You know, the fish have been on that late bite lately, right around your high tide.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been launching a little later, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Wednesday, I had a late call about 6 o'clock in the evening, and I was back home mowing the yard, and someone wanted to fish on Thursday. I accepted the request, and I boogied it down here. I got in here by 11 o'clock at night, and I took out 4 people. And it turned out to be a pretty good day. I guess everybody was scared from that cold front. The wind was blowing the day before, and that cold front was approaching. So we had the whole bait ourselves. And we ended up with 8 reds and 7 trout that day.
There's been a lot of that going on. A lot of people just not going, you know, just you're surprised you get out there and you don't see any more boats. Well, where's everybody at? I guess I'm not on them. I'm in the wrong place. There's no boats.
Well, I start wondering that maybe something's coming.
And you start second guessing, going, man, am I doing something wrong here? There's no boats around.
Are we the only dummies out here and a storm's coming?
Yeah,
you know?
We're the stupid ones. You're fishing where there's not anything.
But, you know, things are picking up, and then we got our bait stand back open. Seagun, Gerald, the guy who runs it, he had hip surgery, so he was out for a couple weeks, and I went and got his pumps working and stuff and helped him out with his tanks, and he was like, I wish I could give you a share in it, Tony, but I don't own the whole place. I don't want a share. I just want my bait stand back.
Yeah, just get something going where you can have a, you know, a place where you can guarantee to get your bait every day.
Right, and I'd have to cross that bridge in the morning. You know, you lose nets and all kinds of stuff blowing out of your boat when you cross that in the morning.
Now, you put in Goose Island mostly, don't you?
Well, the public ramp right here in Lamar. That way, when you come down that road to Goose Island, you turn right to go into the state park.
Okay.
But if you continue straight, it takes you to that boat ramp that's the neighborhood boat ramp, and my customers don't have to pay that entry fee or whatever.
I got you. I've never put in there before,
but
I know where you're. I know where you're talking about.
I think Watkins. He always launches over at the island. So I don't see him too much at our ramp or in the state park. Anyways, a lot of the airboat guys launch out of there and they shoot straight out, run down that shoreline.
Right.
And that's a neat pattern during the summertime and kind of now. Those airboat guys, they shoot out most of the time. They're just going after redfish.
Mm-hmm.
So they're done early. They're not going after two species. And I'll tell my customers, like, okay, guys, we got to get to this one shoreline before 10 o'clock because those guys start running back in about 11, and they'll burn that shoreline and push those fish off of there.
Right.
Sometimes you can – I had an airboat coming down that shoreline one day off the intercoastal, what we call Blackjack Peninsula, and I slid in there. My customers looked at me, you cut that guy off. Like, he'll go around. And about 2 seconds later, they were hooked up. Aren't you glad I cut him off? Like, yes. Like that's their pattern. They'll come through here about that time. So we gotta try to beat them a little bit.
Yeah, those airboats are noisy, man. I remember duck hunting down there in the wintertime, man. That's all you hear. Ducks flying everywhere. The ducks can't even raft up anywhere for all the airboats running. But it makes duck hunting better.
Right, yeah. They're not supposed to do that. They're not doing that intentionally. But, yeah, when they start running them back ponds, you see those ducks come up and they start, you know, flying around.
Yes, sir.
We're excited. You know, people are starting to fly those shrimp flags, and pretty soon they'll be flying them croaker flags, and the phone's ringing like crazy. So it's...
Man, they've been using croaker up here for about a month or better. There's a lot of people wade fishing with them, and I know Matagorda, too, you know.
Yeah, I don't know that my fish are ready for the croakers yet. You know, I'm not saying they won't eat them, but with the shrimp just now being available, you know, not everyone had shrimp. We've only had it here about 2-3 weeks steadily at the bait camps. They're just really attacking that shrimp. And then here pretty soon I'll go to those croakers, but they're not the for sure bait for me year round. You know, at the end of July, August, I'm switching to piggy perch. I can barely get a bite off a croaker anymore.
I remember you talking about that last year. Hang on, let me do a quick commercial break, and I'll come back, and we'll talk some more about it. I'll be right back with you, Tony. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this breezy Sunday morning here in the Bayou City and along the coast. Everybody's a little windy today. Drive careful. Boat careful. 419 in the Bayou City. Let's go back to Captain Tony Gonzalez down in Rockport. All right, Tony, thanks for holding, man. Got to take those every once in a while.
Got to make that money.
Yes, sir. That's the show must go on.
So, yeah, you and Plog were talking about moguls.
Yeah.
And
how we used to have them. Yeah, we don't have them like we used to.
You know, something happened to ours. You know, I used to fish a lot of them out in front of Allen's Bite.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, I don't know, 3-5 miles long of moguls. And, you know, it's not a spot type spot. You know, you have to drift that whole area, find them, park that boat, and catch them.
Yeah.
And last year I didn't have any good days over there. It's like something, the hurricane messed them up, and then the bait guys didn't have any piggy perch last year. So the hurricane did something to the piggy perch and those moguls. Hopefully we'll get some grass back on them or see what happens over there.
I remember wading there back in the day, and that was a good moguly area. I'll tell you another place where the moguls were just really huge, and the holes behind them were over your waders, and that was over by Mustang Island, you know, around the corner there. What do they call that, the East Flats or something like that?
Right.
Yeah, and I remember those moguls. You'd get up on one, it'd be knee-deep, and then you'd slide off behind it, and a big ray would come out of the bottom of that hole, and it'd be almost to the top of your waders. And, man, we used to catch some big trout rolling corkies, slow rolling corkies through there, dropping them off in them holes behind those moguls. Man, I tell you, that was a great place to fish. I'm sure it still is. I just hadn't been down there in years.
Yeah, a lot of the IFA guys, they work that area when they're in the tournament. You'll have five or six boats in there. You'll see them videos from, you know, previous tournaments where they'll get on schools and they'll have three boats all casting at the same school, throwing spoons or whatever.
Yeah, we used to catch a lot of reds in there with those trout. But, boy, we used to pull some nice tide runners out of there, those big ones. You know, they'd come up that Aransas Channel, and that's first dump. You know, once they turn that corner right there, they hit that flat.
Right.
Boy, we used to catch some pigs in there.
It gets a little nervous in there sometimes when you get them big ships go by. It's
yeah.
Like fishing back there by Morgan's Point or something, and you get those big waves. I remember Russell, when I was fishing back with him years ago. We were fishing out Morse Cummins Cut, kind of looking back towards Dagger Island, where Billy likes to fish in that area. And so he's like, "You see that boat over there?" "Yes, sir." He's like, "Every one of those ice chests is fixing to get thrown off of that boat." Like, "Why?" "Like, you see that ship behind it?"
"Uh-huh." "Yeah, watch this."
"Like, is it going to sink?" He's like, "No, it'll just go up and down like a cork, but it'll pop every ice chest off of that boat."
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, we'll start chunking, you know, those croakers here in May. And then, you know, around July, they just start getting too big. And those piggies are starting to grow up them. They start hitting those piggies better. And that's one of the reasons why I like using that high-vis line, because a piggy bite is way more vicious than that croaker bite. You know, a croaker, he'll hit it a couple of times, sometimes slap with his tail, come back around, load up. But on that piggy, you can watch that line. They just, because I guess all the spines, they choke on them.
Yeah.
They just smack them. You have to take customers, wait. Now get him. Now he's on it, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll pop slicks when they're choking on the piggy perch. But it's a more violent bite, you know. And that's what I like to teach.
Well, yeah, they're having to kill a hardier fish to eat it.
Right. Right. And then it helps explain slicks to people and stuff. Like, well, we don't understand a slick. I was like, well, that's their only defense. You know, they don't have hands. They can't reach in their mouth and pull what they're choking on. I was like, so they'll try to regurgitate it and give up the position like a turkey does when he gobbles. And you kind of know, you know, that trick that you used, you know, me and Travis were out fishing one day, and we cranked the engine, and like three or four slicks popped. He looked at me like, turn it off. He's like, what happened? I guess they heard us. They got nervous.
That's it. That spook slicks is what I call them when you spook the fish, you know, and they'll take off and they'll, you know, they'll move a little bit or go down. And when they do, they'll regurgitate just out of habit. And we'd get on a school out of the boat, especially fishing deep back up by the river. And we'd lose our fish. They'd quit moving and mud boiling and slicking. I just reach over and hit the key, push my binnacle button in and rev that engine up about three or four times. And here they'd go. You'd see the mud boil up and then slicks pop up. And then I said, well, there's your drum right there under all that mud. But those trout and reds are in those slicks on the outside edges of it. And I just troll motor over there to the edge of it. And bingo, Johnny, you're right back on them, man.
Yeah, it's just fishing, right?
Well, we had some herds of fish back then. I mean, football field size schools, you know, a drum, reds, and trout mixed together.
Right.
It was quite interesting. You just knew that next cast, you didn't know whether you were going to catch an 8 or a 9-pound trout or, you know, an 8-pound red or 40-pound drum.
Yeah, well, and then big schools are pods now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Pods.
Well, that's why, and that's what Mr. Russell taught me more than anything. Don't worry about the spot. You know, he's like, here, mark the spot here on your GPS. Okay.
Right.
He's like, but don't worry about it. This is just the start of your drift, okay? I was like, okay. He's like, when you work this, say this mogul area, he's like, as soon as you stick one, he's like, you drop that hook immediately. Don't even fight the fish in the boat, because there's times where I'll stick it and hand the rod to my customers. I'm just trying to search for them before we bait up. Hand the rod, drop it, and it's a gaff top. Oh, it's a gaff. Well, we'll throw a couple out there and just see what happens. And that's the key, you know, I'm stopping on that little pot of fish and catching, you know, one anchor drop, five. Sometimes it's 20 on that one anchor drop.
You're exactly right. That's why the power pole became so valuable, because it was easier on the gad. Once he got a bite like that or a customer hooked up, he could go ahead and knock it down and then fish it out. And if you didn't get them going, then you could just ease it up. And because a lot of times you get that boat just another 10 feet closer to the fish and it'll run them off. It'll move
right.
them. You can't get it. You know, you got to, man, that distance is very critical, especially in the water y'all fish in down there, that beautiful clear water like y'all have.
Right. And I don't like it super clear. I like something stained.
Yep.
And some streaky. And then it starts, yesterday we had some nice green water, real clear, and then it got stained and it started getting too dirty. And we started over, and we were just having to fish protected is all we had a choice to fish yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jay Watkins will agree with you. He likes it when y'all get a lot of local fresh water, you know, rain, and you get
right.
a lot of those drains start bleeding that kind of tannic looking water and color changes like that. And boy, it man, I've heard some stories. Kind of like fishing up here, you know, when we get fresh water and we don't get too much of it, just the right amount to concentrate those fish and put them on those edges.
Yeah, I thought I seen him pass by me yesterday. I pointed him out. That kid, he has a couple of those double Ds. And I'm like, yeah, they made that bait. They came, him and Lowell came up with that bait. Really?
Yeah.
That nice? I'm like, there he is right there. That's him. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's him. He's running a gray Haney cat.
Yeah, that's probably Jay.
Uh-huh. But
well, you know, y'all got such a nice it's so nice down there. It used to be one of my favorite places to go. We'd take the kids down there every spring break, and we'd stay for a week and wade fish every day. And the boys loved that, man. That was and you had so many places to fish. But, you know, I loved Aransas Bay and Carlos Bay and Mesquite and San Antonio. I really enjoyed fishing there probably more than I did farther down south, you know, Redfish and Corpus Christi Bay and all that.
This is kind of like y'all's water. I mean, this is the north side here, mm-hmm. for, you know, like Baytown and Goose Island area, or, you know, a little marshier over there than I'd say in Galveston.
Right.
So it seems comparable. And you have the bridge here, just like, you know, different than LaPorte and Baytown.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
That's what I tell these kids here. Y'all don't know how good you have it here. I'm like, why? Like, you see this bridge right here? Anywhere else in Texas, you're going to have refineries on both sides of it.
Exactly. It's pristine down there, and I guess y'all are recovering real nice now after the hurricane. Y'all are getting back to somewhat normal procedure around there, huh?
Yeah, they're getting more and more hotels. You know, the big three hotels here are owned all by the same guy.
Yeah.
And he's got one of them, the La Quinta, the Hampton, I think it's another one, the Marriott, I think. And I think the second one's fixing to open back up, I think, before the summer.
Right.
And then, you know, all the restaurants are back open, and
good.
There's a lot of rental houses that are down, but we're back to fishing and tournaments every weekend, and, you know,
well,
the bars
good.
Are full and the restaurants are full, and people are loving it. You didn't notice. Last year by July, it's like nothing had happened.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, good deal. Well, Tony, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man, and we'll stay in touch more. I like getting the good reports from you down there, and you're a fine gentleman, and if people want to come down and fish with you and have a really good time and you show them how to do it, how do they get a hold of you, man?
They can call me at 210-846-5083, or you can go online and I'm at captaintgif.com, abbreviate captain. I'll be glad to take you out.
TGIF, I like that.
Makes it a little easier. Tony Gonzalez, inshore fishing, that's a lot to type out on.
It is. TGIF, that's pretty cool, though. All right. Well, Tony, always a pleasure talking to you, and you have a nice Sunday today, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Okay. You too, Mickey. Good
luck.
All
right, Tony. Thank you. See you, bud.
Thanks.
All right, take care. All right, Captain Tony Gonzalez.
He's all fired up. He's been hunting coon all morning long already. He's been spotlighting coons on his dad's property down there, killing all them corn seeds.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Boy, that carp had a mouth on him like Barney Fife. You see that?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Yeah, good morning. How y'all doing?
No, same way with humans. They'll teach you that in CPR. You know, if you got a guy heat stroking, pack his testicles in ice. I swear, man.
No, thank you. I'd almost rather die.
We cracked up laughing in CPR class when they told us that. We're all looking at each other and going, boy, I'd have to really be hot. Hey, there's your real ice bucket challenge right there, bro.
If you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
You're as cold as ice.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this breezy Sunday morning. A little breezy in the neighborhood. You know, it'll kind of go down, but, the gusts are just so high at times. You know, driving in, you just almost make you change lanes on the freeway. All right, let's change lanes. Let's run down to POC, Port O'Connor, and talk to Captain Lynn Smith. Lynn, good morning. What's up, bud?
Man, the wind.
Yes, it is.
Where did that wind come from?
I don't know. They're already calling for it to be out of the south tomorrow.
Oh, good.
That's a quick turnaround.
Boy, it blew yesterday, didn't it?
Yes, it
good
did.
Good grief. I think we had wind gusting well over 40.
I bet y'all did. It was, I'm glad I was watching Tiger Woods instead of trying to fish out of a boat yesterday.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't fish yesterday. I stayed home, and I think that was a good decision. I did fish the day before, but, you know.
Yeah.
It was breezy, too, but yesterday was something else, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad I wasn't on the water yesterday. But anyway, it's been something, man. It's a little breezy today. Well, at least it's not as strong as it was yesterday.
Right.
But you know, you can still find fish out there, but you just gotta find a little windbreak, you know. We found fish day before yesterday, but it was something you had to really hunt for them. And I finally found some trout in an area that water was about 2 feet deep, and they were slicking. And I got in there, eased in there, and boy, they were thick, but boy, the porpoise were in there with them too.
Uh-oh.
Oh man, those porpoise were. There must have been a dozen porpoise on these trout. And I drifted right in there with them and put the power pole down, and they just, they were all around me. It was incredible. And we were still catching trout, but the porpoise were just thick until they finally scattered them. They finally scared them, you know. But it was every cast till they scared them. It took a while.
They'll stir them up.
You know, oh, they did, man. They stirred them up. And I thought there'd be reds in there with them too, man, but there weren't. They were just trout. But incredible. And then the reds, we were on reds the day before that. Heck, we had our reds in about less than an hour. We had our limit of reds, so... it was good till all this wind hit. Man, that was something. I hadn't talked to some buddies of mine that were waiting. I would imagine they did okay waiting as long as they got got up against the shorelines and got a little protection.
Yeah,
you probably did okay.
That's all you can do. You got to get inside somewhere and just get out of it.
Oh, absolutely. You gotta get some protection, man. Get your back up against that shoreline.
Boy, and that tide yesterday was incredibly high. It was bulled up, you know, with all that wind.
Oh, yeah.
All that water in here, especially, you know, we're on our spring tides, too, that equinox and the really high incoming tides in the mornings. And it was bulled up. I bet some areas that were on opposite sides of the bay with that high tide, when that west wind hit, it probably pushed a lot of water up into areas that don't normally see it on that kind of wind.
Oh, yeah. And what it does, I mean, it pushes those redfish right back in these lakes, you know.
Yeah, it does.
And I like that. I mean, we get back in areas we normally don't go. But it stacks those redfish in there. That's what happened a few days ago. And it was weird. I got back in one of the lakes, and several of my buddies were fishing, too, I got on a bunch of redfish, and shoot, we were done. We were done in less than an hour. I mean, we had all our reds, and we had solid redfish, 27 to 28.
Golly.
And solid fish. I mean, tournament fish. And I kept trying to call some of my buddies to tell them that I was on these fish, and I couldn't get anybody on the cell phones. I think something was wrong with the towers. Because everybody I called, it kept going to voicemail.
Really?
Straight to voicemail.
Yeah, like their phone was turned off.
Uh-huh. And they said the same thing with me. They tried to call me, and it was the same deal.
Yeah, Lynn, if you'd have just picked that phone up, I'd have had you some 8-pounders every cast. How many times have you heard that?
Yeah.
Why don't you pick up, man? I was on Monsters.
Uh-huh. And one of my buddies said, "Man, I wish I could got a hold. You could have got a hold of me." He said, "Man, I needed some help."
That's right.
Yeah, but you know, it was a weird deal. That was strange. But shoot, those reds were back in those lakes, man.
Back in the day when we'd lose our GPS signal on our, you know, in our boat and all that, and cell phone signal and stuff. So, well, I guess we're bombing somebody this morning. They've got all the satellites scrambled.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's kind of strange down here. I don't know about y'all, but while we're fishing, we can hear a lot of the airplanes practicing dogfighting. You know, they're planes from out of Corpus, out of that Naval Air Station.
Right.
And they practice right over Port O'Connor.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, you can hear them. And you can see them way up there, but they're practicing dogfighting.
I remember they used to do that, have practice missions over the Chandelier Islands. Those air bases down there used to fly out there and fly the Chandelier Islands and practice.
Nah, but darn. Yeah, we'll be out there drifting, and you can hear them just fighting more. And people say, "What are they doing?" I said, "They're practicing dogfighting. It's, you know, they're teaching them. It's incredible."
That's it, like but, Miramar.
Mm-hmm.
Top Gun school.
You know, I worked out in California a year, and spent a year in San Diego, and I didn't have anything to do, and I went out to Miramar. The Miramar Gun Club. I joined the gun club out there to shoot some skeet, and that's where they teach the Top Gun pilots. And we'd be out there shooting skeet, and boy, those Top Gun pilots would come into land. It was pretty interesting to watch them. They'd come in, you know, those F-14s would come in the land, and right behind them would come those little jets, you know, that come in off the desert. It was just like watching the movie. It really was.
That was a cool movie.
Wasn't it? It really was. And it was funny. I worked with a guy. I worked with a guy that he must have watched that movie 150 times. He thought it was great. And it was so funny, man. He said he was so infatuated with that movie that we'd go out to a club or something like that to have a drink, And, you know, girls would walk in and he'd say, oh, they're too close for rockets. I'm switching to guns.
Yeah. Too close for missiles, Maverick. I'm switching to guns.
That's it.
Go on, get out of there. I can take the shot from right here.
That's it. Oh, he was a mess. But anyway, it was a lot of fun out there in California and Miramar watching those jets, man. That was something. That and air show out there while I was there too. That was pretty neat.
San Diego would be a cool place to live. It's perfect weather all the time, you know.
Unbelievable. They have 10 inches of rain a year. That's it. 10 inches. Well, it's a desert, you know.
Yep.
It really is.
I know a lot of people that they love going to San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I tell you what, I couldn't wait to get back to Texas, though.
Well, I couldn't wait to get back. I can understand that point of view.
Mm-hmm. I spent a year out there.
No place like Texas, is there?
No, it isn't. No, it didn't. So I said, man, I served my time. I'm back. But,
you know,
no,
they didn't travel around the country and go to other places and all that. But, boy, when you get back home, it really makes you appreciate where you live.
Oh, it does. You know, I worked in Colorado. You know, I worked in Denver. And the Denverites, you know, they really love their state, and rightfully so. You know, it's a beautiful place, and I loved it too. But one of them asked me one time there at the office, he said, man, well, how do you like Colorado compared to Texas? I said, you know, this is a beautiful place. It really is. I said, but you know what? If the Gulf of Mexico backed up to these mountains, it'd be the perfect place.
It'd be paradise, wouldn't it? How cool would that be? Gulf of Mexico right on the backside of the Rockies.
Yeah, it would be the perfect place. Gosh almighty. While I was there, I really missed the salt water, man. Yeah, I'd fly back to Houston and go fishing, man.
Well, the thing with growing up here and the salt water, it gets in your blood, and you just can't get rid of it. You can't get it out of your system, and you long for that smell. You know, I used to love it when, you know, I'd go down to the beach on the weekends, and I'd love pulling up on that seawall. And it's still dark. You can't tell whether the surf's rough or it's flat, whether you're going to fish or surf for the day. But that smell would hit you, you know, just that seaweed and salt air and, you know, slicks popping. I mean, all that good. Beachy smell. It just gets in your blood.
It does. It really does, you know.
Kind of like South Texas, man, when you've hunted there for so long. I mean, you go hunt other places of the state, but it's just not the same as hunting in South Texas.
No, it's really not. You know, I mean, I've hunted in Idaho and New Mexico and all over the place, but it's never the same as Texas, South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere near.
South Texas.
And, you know, I went to Alaska. I went to Alaska one time fishing, and they were hauling us down the edge of the coast of Gulf of Alaska, and this little four-wheeler was hauling us in a little wagon, and they were taking us along. We were going to a river called the Sayu River. We were going to fish for silver salmon.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to come out of the Gulf of Alaska to run up this river. So anyway, they're hauling us, and we're going along this bank, and we got to the mouth of the river, and I looked over, and I saw slicks in the surf there.
Right.
And what it was, those salmon were staging up out there waiting on the tide to start in. And you could see sea lions out there in the surf, you know, after those salmon. And you could see the slicks. And I hollered at this girl, this guide. I said, hey, let me out right here. And she said, well, we're going to go up here about a quarter of a mile. And I said, no, you let me out right here. This this is my kind of fishing. I know what this is. This is slick.
Yeah.
and I said, I can read this. I said, you let me out right here. So she stopped and let me out at the mouth of that river. And I got out there, and I just started hammering those silvers, you know. And pretty soon here came this friend of mine walking down the edge of the bank, and he hadn't caught a thing. And I waved him over. And I said, man, they're right here staging up. I said, come over here. And, boy, I was stacking them up. And once that tide started in, those silvers started in that river, it was a sight to see, man. they started up that river, the water was about 6 inches deep at first. And when the tide came in, they had a 16-foot tide difference.
Yeah, that's a tide change right there, bud.
Oh, tell me.
Oh, what an incoming.
Ooh,
that'd flood all our coastal cities, man.
Wouldn't it? 16-foot tide difference.
Yeah, and they have those tides over on the North Sea that are just, what, 30-something feet? Tide changes, 38, 40 feet or whatever? Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty good tide.
Yeah, that's that's some gravitational pull right there, bub.
Oh, man. Yeah, the company sent me over to Norway. I spent a year in Oslo. Well, we designed a big rig for the North Sea, and while I was over there, I asked one of the Brits I worked with. I said, "You worked down in the North Sea, didn't you?" And he went, "Oh yeah."
Oh,
I said,
yeah.
"What's the tallest wave you ever saw out here?" He said, "Well," he said, "one winter," he said, "I was on a rig out there." He said, "We had a platform with two fire water pumps on it." He said, "That platform was set at 106 feet above sea level, and we had to pull the pumps twice in 1 week because they got swamped."
Wow.
106 feet above sea level.
I've heard of 80 footers out there are not uncommon, 60s and 80s.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, you can have that. No.
Oh, man.
How about that crew boat ride out to one of those rigs?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Oh, not me, baby.
Yeah, he said one winter he saw a boat out there. He said it would come up on the top of the waves and then go down. It'd be down for like a minute or two and
you'd
then
think, man,
come back up. Yeah, and he said, "Who in the world is out here in this?" And he said, "That's Norwegian fishermen."
Yeah.
He said, "You got to be kidding me. That's unbelievable." Man.
Yeah, it's hard to believe the Vikings back in the day with their pretty much carved out skulls for hulls, you know. Crossing the North Sea with paddles.
Oh. Oh man.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they claim they did it.
Oh, they did it. Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. Well, surely they didn't do it in the winter. I hope not.
Well, even in the summer, you've only got a 20 or 30 minute window there if you fall overboard. In the North Sea, the water's so cold. I mean, you're hypothermia sets in. You're toast.
Oh yeah, that water's cold.
Yeah, it is.
It's plenty cold. Yeah, it's pretty chilly, no doubt. Of course, that water's cold out there in California too.
Yeah, it is. Pacific's
that water's
a lot
cold.
Cooler than here.
No, boy, I'm telling you, big time. That's where the great whites like that cold water.
I'm
glad we got warm water in the Gulf.
Yeah, but we also have great whites in the Gulf. You know, we had that one get close to Galveston last year that I forget its name, the one that got a tracker on and all. I got an app. My nephew's got that on his phone. He knows every shark's name, and he follows them all over the globe from, up on the northeast coast all the way down the Atlantic side, and then when they come around and enter the Gulf and all that. They've even got some tiger sharks and hammerheads tagged like that also.
Yeah, we have a shark tournament every year in Port O'Connor, and last year they caught one right out here on the hump. We weighed and catch trout the hump, and they caught a tiger on the hump that was 13-footer, and he weighed 693 or something like that. And
well, he would have been fatter. He was just setting up in the bay so he could start feeding on people. He'd gain some weight, get him some protein going.
Well, two of my buddies weight fishing out there saw him. They saw him a couple of times.
Gosh.
And so they told a couple of buddies there that were going to fish that tournament. They told them about him, and they went out there like 2 days prior to the tournament, and they chummed him up. They saw him. They knew he was still there, and they went out there.
And
he could start fishing at midnight. And they chummed him up, and then they hooked him at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they were in a 20-foot boat, and they end up just tying him off the transom and drug him in.
That's all you can do.
And he was a 13-foot tiger.
That's a monster.
It is.
Not me, baby. I'm out of the water when I see something like that. You can bank on it. I'm not gonna give him a chance. All right. Well, Lynn,
no.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. Throw them out a number if somebody wants to come down to Port O'Connor and go fishing with you, man.
Oh, you bet, man. Yeah, they can reach me on my cell at 361-935-6833.
All right, Lynn. You have a great Sunday. Nice talking to you, man.
Hey, you too, Mick. Y'all have a good one. Is Captain
We're gonna
Benny
do
there
it.
With you?
No, not today. All right, bud.
Y'all have a good one, man.
You do it. All right, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.